Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for what I consider to be the high point of our week around here. It is our visit each week with Andy McCarthy, the former federal prosecutor turned pundit extraordinaire. You can read his columns at National Review Online and at pjmedia.com. You will also find him frequently at Megyn Kelly and elsewhere on Fox News and many other outlets besides. But this one, of course, is the most important, I like to think. Anyway, it's one of those that he frequents, and we're very grateful for that. Andy, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Frank, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start perhaps with where President Obama is today. He is visiting with the new king of Saudi Arabia, King Salman, paying his respects to the late king, Abdullah, the man whose ring he famously kissed at one point. What do we make, Andy, of this relationship with the Saudis? Adam Credo at the Washington Free Beacon this week wrote a very interesting piece about Salam's rather extensive ties, and I think this is probably true of the Saudis writ large, but in his case specifically, to various terrorist organizations, others that are engaged in the jihad. Are these guys, the Saudis, the reliable allies that we're being told they are in the course of this funeral procession and so on?
Well, I don't know, Frank. I thought it was fairly telling that the fact that King Abdullah died on, I believe it was last Friday, drowned out what otherwise would have been the near non-coverage of the fact that a Saudi proponent of free expression and political dialogue was getting the third round of his 1,000 lash sentence, corporal punishment, not carried out by Al-Qaeda or ISIS, but carried out by the Saudi government. It's also been telling that under Abdullah's rule, all the things that we call out Al-Qaeda and ISIS for being atrocious on in the way of cruelties and corporal punishments are actually carried on officially under the banner of the Saudi government, which employs a religious police force, the Mudawin, for the purpose of enforcing repressive Sharia law and doing things like carrying out the subjugation of women, the systematic, not only discrimination, but cruel punishments of homosexuals, the penalties against apostasy, systematic prohibition on freedom of conscience, basically an entire system of repression. And the thought that the President of the United States, in a constitutional system that's born for the purpose of protecting liberty, feels it needs to pay respect to a despot under whose rule that kind of systematic repression is an everyday thing, which is, I guess, redundant, is just mind-boggling to me, although it's been the way Obama's hardly the first. I mean, he's probably the worst, but he's hardly the first.
Yeah. You know, something that you said there, Andy, that's so important. First of all, that this fellow is being lashed 1,000 times for what? For suggesting that there ought to be more moderation in this regime. And more to the point, that as you've indicated, the practices, the barbarity, the repressiveness, the Sharia agenda of the Islamic State, of Al-Qaeda, of the Taliban, and all these other folks that we're told are appropriately our enemies, is indeed the practice in Saudi Arabia because it's Sharia, right?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. Sharia is the law of Saudi Arabia. You know, they have they attend some law around it, but by and large, the law of Saudi Arabia is Sharia. And that's why I'm always astounded when, you know, Sheikh Obama and Ayatollah Kerry and the rest of them all pronounced to us about the true Islam, when we see day in and day out in Saudi Arabia the carrying out of exactly the same cruelties, the same systematic discrimination, and the same abuses that they, you know, that they hound Al-Qaeda and ISIS over. And I'm hardly making excuses for Al-Qaeda and ISIS. I just am trying to underscore the point that this is ideological, And this is a regime which is formally carrying it out under the color of legal authority, and we regard them somehow as moderate.
Yep, our allies, no less. Andy, one of the guys who has received considerable criticism, but I think to his great credit, been truth-telling on this very point, is, of course, Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana. You wrote about his appearance and specifically his wading into the thorny issue of whether or not there are so-called no-go zones in Europe. Talk about first, sort of the Jindal remarks at the Henry Jackson Society, as you see them, and this issue of the nature of these, well, they call them zones urbaines sensibles in France. Do they exist? And if so, what's the fight about?
Well, I think to answer your first question, Frank, Governor Jindal is to be saluted. I think what he gave, aside from the no-go zones, which have gotten more attention than anything else, I think he gave as important a speech about America's place in the world, both our place on the world stage and our status as a beacon of freedom and hope for the world. I think he gave as really Reagan-esque and clear-minded a speech about American foreign policy as has been given in years, and I salute him for it. And the key to it was truth-telling, that you actually have to make national security policy and foreign policy around a clear-eyed, true version of reality in the world, and that we can't continue, particularly with respect to the immediate threat to us, a radical Islamic ideology, or what we call Sharia supremacism or Islamic supremacism. We can't sugarcoat that anymore, can't refuse to talk about it or mention it anymore, and have a sensible foreign policy. So I think it was a very important speech in that regard, and I salute him for giving it. It's a lot clearer than anything we've certainly heard out of the administration in the last 6 years. As for the no-go zones, you'd be better off asking whether it was really true that the sun came up in the morning. Properly understood, what this means is that there are Muslim enclaves throughout Europe where, as the Muslim population in them gets more dense and inevitably the radical population within that population gets more assertive, they more and more systematically discourage non-Muslims who won't adhere to Muslim mores, and the agents of the state, like the police department, the fire department, the first responders, from coming in, because their presence then undercuts the idea that this is an enclave that has submitted to Sharia law. And properly understood, as that's what we mean by a no-go zone, it's absurd to be having it's like asking whether you and I are actually having this conversation, to ask whether those exist. It's been a staple of media coverage, academic literature, and every other means of reporting for the last 15 years or so, that Western Europe is rife with no-go zones.
Yeah, and it seems to me, Andy, that what we're talking about here is kind of a prime example of what you've described in your marvelous books on this subject as willful blindness, and as a kind of example of our conformity to Sharia blasphemy. These are examples of things that exist. They've been identified. In the case of the French, they actually officially acknowledge some 751 of these zones urbaines sensibles. But we're being told that this is Islamophobia even to note it. It is absolutely maddening. And I appreciate the clarity with which you've, of course, as you always do, laid out the facts and made plain that we mustn't allow these things to proliferate, let alone pretend they don't exist at all. As always, my friend, thank you very much. There's way more to talk about. I wanted to visit with you about the Homeland Security funding bill that is going to be up shortly before the Congress, but that will be for next week, I guess. Thank you, as always, Andy, for your leadership, your courage, your clarity, and your superb books, Willful Blindness, and, of course, The Grand Jihad, among them. Keep it up. Come back to us again next week. In the meantime, I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.